Thank you, worship team, for leading us earlier today, as well as just now. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. We'll be continuing our study in the book of Acts today, as well as in the next few weeks to come. So Acts 17, verses 16 to 34. And I'll be reading scripture before I ask Tombert to come and preach to us this morning. So Acts 17, verses 16 to 34. Please follow along as I read this in the NIV. While Paul was waiting for them, that is Silas and Timothy, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting. You're bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." All the Athenians and foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you're very religious. For as I walked around, I looked carefully at your objects of worship. I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everything life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human hands and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them, with Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. So our speaker this morning is Tombert. I know he probably doesn't need an introduction, but some of you may not know him. Tombert became a Christian, I think, probably in his late teens or early 20s, somewhere around there anyways. He was not brought up in the church. But since then, he has grown remarkably in Christ. And he has such a zeal for God. For those of you who know him, he loves life, and he loves God, he loves his family, and he loves his church. And we want to just welcome him as he preaches the word of God this morning. Tombert.
Good morning.
Okay, good. Oh,
I'll try not to be too confusing. Okay. Morning, everyone. My name is Tom Bertz, and thank you for coming today to listen. I hope that you will find that what I have to share with you today will inspire you a little bit, or maybe a lot. When I read passages like this, after Pastor Abe came, I'm like, what am I going to do? What's the first thing you do when that happens? Go to God. Go to Him and ask Him. Because this is not the first thing. This is not what I would want to talk about. And that's okay. But what came out right away was the word babbler. Because you know what? I am a babbler. If you know my wife Joyce, ask her. I think we match perfectly because my wife is very quiet, only speaks when necessary, and I can go on forever. So I said, once I read it, I said, this is great. I can talk about this. No problem. If you turn your notes over, I only have a few lines there, a few blanks. Please take the time to fill them out. I think it'll be a little more worthwhile for you as well. I want to share some stories with you too. First thing I want to ask you, and it's the first letter, it's very simple, is where? Where are you? Where are you? So, well, yeah, I said, well, I'm in Faith Lines Church, but let's take it back. If you were talking to God, where are you? I'm at this place I'm working at. I live in Vancouver. Where are you? In the scriptures that we just read, Paul's in Athens. He's going on this crazy journey. He separates from his friends, and he ends up in Athens. What about you? Where are you right now in your journey? Where are you? You know, just right underneath it. What comes to mind? What pops in your head? Where are you? The second one. What are you doing? So where you're at right now, what are you doing? I'm an engineer. I'm on a computer. I'm doing calculations. I work in a hospital. So I'm treating patients, or I'm taking care of patients or incoming patients. I'm a teacher. Tough time right now. Hi. Where are you? I'm a student, and I'm taking it easy for the first time in months. Paul is waiting. He's, I don't know, checking it out. Like, is he just hanging out? He's not, is he? Because we hear something else about him. He looks around and he sees all of these idols. The third one, how do you feel? So if you write that down, how do you feel? And then I want you to answer that in your head as well. So where are you right now? What are you doing? And how do you feel about that? So if you just write it down somewhere in there just a little bit. How do you feel? Do you feel great? Oh, I'm in the best place. This is so awesome. My son, Evan, my firstborn son, he's 10 years old. He asks me all kinds of questions like boys do, right? Just, they're always, ah, la, 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 la. He goes, Daddy, what's your perfect job? And I was thinking, okay, I've done this. I've done a lot of things. And I said, you know what? I really enjoy what I'm doing now. And he goes, really? Because wouldn't you rather be a hockey player? I'm thinking to myself, a hockey player? And he goes, for the Vancouver Canucks? I'm like, why would I want to do that? He says, if I did that, Evan, do you know that 41 games out of 82 are played away from home? And he's like, well, really? I said, yeah, on TV, they all look at the same. No. They're away all the time. I would rather be with you, but they make so much money. I'm like, that's okay, kiddo. I really enjoy what I'm doing now. How about you? What are your feelings to where you're at and what you're doing? Just write it down, okay? Yeah, you can let the person see beside you, or maybe not. It doesn't matter. Just how do you feel? Paul, he's in Athens. He's waiting. And then the word here is, he's greatly distressed. He's greatly distressed. It's because of what he sees around him. How about you, right now, in your journey? I want to take you on a little bit of my journey. A number of years ago, in my 20s, being at this church, part of an outreach, sports outreach ministry through Pastor Lawrence and so many others, I came to know Jesus. Came to know Jesus in this place right here. Great blessing. But during that time, I went on another journey where God was working to change me. And I went through a lot of challenges, and I ended up working at a grocery store. I remember this. It was a choice that I made, but it was a very difficult choice. And I remember I was a grocery clerk, and I was thinking to myself, I have a degree from UBC in business and economics. I started up a few of my own businesses. I had a great job, made a lot of money in sales, and here I am in a grocery store. And nothing against grocery stores. I was thinking, how did this happen? I'm scratching my head, and the most amazing thing happens. I think I was making $6.30 an hour. So for those of you students who are complaining about minimum wage, $6.30 an hour. It was really tough just paying for rent at the time. So if you're at home, keep staying home and save up. So all your parents are lucky I'm saying that now. Save up the money because it's really tough. So anyways, here I am making $6.30 an hour. I get called into the grocery aisle. Someone vomited in the aisle. So I went there. I go and I grab the bucket and stuff like that. I am on my knees cleaning up this vomit. I'm thinking, how did I end up here? I can't believe this. And I'm grumbling and I'm a fairly new Christian. I'm mad at God. I go, what happened? What happened? Greatly distressed. But it was for my own life. It was about me, because I'm a selfish person. I know none of you guys are, right? I'm the only selfish one. Well, I'm sure there's a few of us here. But God was working on that in me. And it was part of my journey that I was in. It was part of my journey. It was a difficult journey, but God opened my eyes. He opened my eyes. You see, God wanted to work in me. But he needed to open my eyes first so that I could see what was going on around me and that changes could happen in me first. How about you? How about you? Because I think all of us are in need of changes. So the fourth one. This is going to be a really hard one. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do for the place that you're at, for what you're currently doing right now, with the feelings that you have right now, good, bad, troubled, jubilant, joyful? What are you willing to do? Do you want to stay in that place? Do you want to go farther? Do you want to go backwards? Or do you want to see what God might do? Paul, this crazy guy going on this massive journey, usually with people, sometimes he gets separated every so often, sometimes shipwrecked. He ends up in a foreign city and sees these crazy things all around, idols. And they're disturbing to him. He has to do something. He has to do something. So he goes to the marketplace, he goes to the synagogues, and he starts to share. He starts talking to people, saying, this is what it's about. I see where you're at. This is what it's about. What about you? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do? For those of you who are believers, what are you willing to do for God? What sacrifices are you willing to take? Sorry, what sacrifices are you willing to make? Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone? I want to share a little story with you. Yeah, I got a lot of stories. Last year, I can't remember when it was about, maybe it was September, October, my wife and I, we lead a small group. And we got a message, I think it was an email or something, and we went to a meeting with Pastor Abe and Pastor Brian, and they said, and they were talking about this thing, and then they said, we want you guys to do a study. And we're like, huh? He says, we've already got a study. He says, we want all the small groups to do a study called Bursting Your Bubble. Do you remember that? So those of you involved in small groups, it's called Bursting Your Bubble. And we're like, it's going to throw everything off. But it's from the pastors, so you can't do very much, right? It's from the pastors. So my wife and I talked to us, said they were doing it in sections. Like they can get an early one and a later one, something like that, right, Pastor Abe? Right? And so you could sign up and get these DVDs and books and stuff like that. And so we're like, well, you know what? Let's just get it over right away. Because if you wait, this is my wife, okay? She talks a lot slower. She says, if you wait, then it'll be in between the studies. So why don't we just do it right away? And I'm thinking, makes sense. So we go talk to Pastor Abe, I believe. So we get the whole study. We tell our group, this is what we're doing, no matter what. The group's like, what? No offense. Some were like, this is not what we signed up for. Too bad. Because that's what we're doing. And instead of every other week, we decide to meet every week. Bursting your bubble. Getting out of your comfort zone. Some people are not happy. I'll be honest with you. I wonder if any of them are here today, actually. Maybe. And maybe you as part of a group were part of that as well. You weren't very happy. Like, I gotta do what? But there were some others who were like, hey, this is really good. But it's really scary. But I'm going to try anyways. A number of people in our group actually did it. They actually went out of their comfort zone. Bursting your bubble is about sharing your faith. It's about preparing yourself and then going out actually doing it. And they did. And they were amazing. Came back, oh my goodness, you won't believe what happened. So I shared my faith. This person I've been praying for, I shared it with them. This person I was praying for, I bumped into them. So I started sharing. It's amazing what God will do. You know what? It's absolutely amazing what God will do with a willing heart. So I guess the question is, are we willing? This Paul guy is crazy, and he's the, you know, people say he's the greatest evangelist. The greatest evangelist. Except there's something really funny about Paul. In 1 Corinthians 2, 3, and 4, I'm going to flip my Bible over here because that's a big mess in my book. I scribbled so much, and then my kid came along and scribbled over it. Amazing. So from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting verse 1. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with elegance or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. This is Paul, the great evangelist? Traveling around the world, comes with fear and trembling. Amazing. I can relate to him right now. And he says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. There's a beauty in being a Christian, is you know what? You actually don't have to know everything. You don't have to know everything. You don't. But if we're willing, God will do his work. More than anything else that I found out in my life, and I'm a regular guy. For those of you who bumped into me or talked to me, and the teams, they know. I'm just a normal guy who just talks a lot. And I enjoy it. What I found is, me, Tom Burt, I'm pretty relaxed, get excited sometimes. I'm okay at intelligence level. I married out my wife. She's way smarter than me. Way more kind, way more gentle. Way more almost everything, except for talking. But God can still use me. God can use me because I'm willing. Well, that's not even true, actually. I'm willing sometimes. Because there's other times I'm like, no. But what I find is when I'm willing, He shows up. God shows up when I'm willing. Instead of just a word of Jesus, instead of maybe checking out his words in the Bible every once in a while, maybe every day, how about we try being willing? How about we try expressing ourselves for Him, letting Him take control? I saw that not too long ago, actually. Community Day. A community right here outside in the foyer, in the chapel, in the solarium. I saw people from our church, from different congregations, coming together to serve this community, to love this community. It was fantastic. If you had a chance to be here with your family, maybe people that you invited, it was an amazing time. My kids especially enjoyed it. I can say that. One of them ate so much cotton candy, I was like, but to see the love of people serving, it's absolutely amazing. Those who were just giving themselves, it was cutting up watermelon, hot dogs, it was doing caricatures and laughing at them. If it was like sharing with the toys, it was ice cream, it was all that food. Some of it was really spicy, by the way, but it was really good. Right. Whatever it was the service of people loving others because they made themselves available and willing to serve. Blessing those around them. How about you? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do? So if you haven't gone through that bursting your bubble, I would challenge you to check it out. Pastor Brian over there, and Pastor, I think they've got DVD sets, right? Just go ask them. Some crazy weird guy asked me to check this out. Bursting Your Bubble. Go through it. Simple video series, but it pushes you. It challenges you. And it makes you more prepared. More prepared. And that's the next one, is what do you need to be prepared for? Oops. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? That's number five. I believe something as simple as bursting your bubble helps prepare you. Because you know what one of the really simple things it did was just doing your testimony. Doing your testimony. So that's sharing your life story. I don't even know, why do they actually use that word testimony? It sounds scary in my mind. As a Christian and as a non-Christian, I think it's such a long word for one, but it's a really simple idea. All it is knowing your story and how to convey it to others so they can understand it. That's all it is. Simply knowing your story, being able to convey it in a way. So we're not trying to babble it up. Blah, 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 blah. Like I can talk I can share my story in 20 minutes. I can share it in 5 minutes, and I can share it in 2 minutes. Really, really quickly. Because you never know how long you're going to be with someone, right? You're talking with in the bathroom. It does happen. I do it. It could be on a street. It could be praying with a kid in a car. You never know where it's going to be. And you know what? You might not be invited to share your story. You might be called to share your story. And at that point when God calls you, when you feel that inkling in you, maybe that little fear of say, I'm supposed to do this. It might be God asking you to share your story with that person right in front of you. Are you prepared? I would challenge you. Check it out. It's a really good series, Bursting Your Bubble. Another great thing I think this church offers, we haven't done it in a while, is the Alpha program. Do you know that Alpha's coming in October? Pastor Abe was mentioning it as well. It's on our bulletin. They're looking for people to help out. It's been a while since I've been to Alpha. Food is very good. I do like food. I came to know Jesus through food, fellowship, and fun. I believe those three go very well, and I've shared that before, go very well hand in hand. There's something that just brings all people together. It's food. And the friendships that you build around a table, having some fun, watching something, discussing something, something meaningful as well. Something meaningful. And Alpha presents that. So maybe you've been inkling towards it. Would you be willing to help out on a Tuesday and go out and try? Maybe for the very first time, or maybe you've done it a few years ago, but saying, that was a lot of work. But hey, why not? Would you make yourself available? And you know what? There's a lot of training that happens as well for all areas. And they'll use your skills and abilities. Just like Paul, you know, a person who was fearful, but he wanted to know Jesus Christ. And that's how he could share Jesus. But God has given us all kinds of gifts. Gifts of friendship, gifts of hospitality, gifts of cooking, gifts of loving others. Let's use those gifts. Let's embrace our community. Let's love our community. Like that community date, that was amazing. Let's embrace our community in such a way. And you know what? You're not going to be alone in it too. Something like an Alpha, you won't be alone. Are you prepared? Think of different ways how you could be prepared. Preparing yourself for what God is going to do. I think one of the challenges of being willing is two things, actually. I apologize. And it's funny. Well, I guess some people think it's coincidence. I look at things, oh, that's really funny. Is that two sets of philosophers come to talk to Paul. Say, when are Epicureans and when are Stoics? And I'm thinking, oh, I've heard of that before. Right? And I was like, but, you know, my vocabulary's not great. I just ask my wife. It's always easier that way. She's got a crazy vocabulary. And she starts babbling something. I'm like, what is she talking about? So I have to look on Google. Right? Epicureans, and I thought it was very interesting. They came a philosophy that grew from seeking pleasure. Group that seeks out pleasure. And the second one was the Stoics. And they're ones who are built upon logic and controlling, managing pain. So it's a lessen pain. You know what's funny? I think those two philosophies are very dominant in our culture today. These people who are addressing Paul on his journey, just like we're all on journeys, come along and they question him. What's going on? Because some are seeking out pleasure and others are seeking out reducing pain and logicking things out. And in many ways, our North American society, our Canadian society, I think our society here in our own city is very much like that. Vancouver is amazing. Look at this day. It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. We can go out right after here. We'll probably go eat. Maybe some of you go out for a picnic. I'm not saying don't, okay? I'm not saying that. We could do so much to enjoy, can't we? I remember when I was a little younger and not married, I actually I played volleyball. Then I went to play ice hockey and I went snowboarding. And I did some kind of weird water sport, which I don't remember very well because I don't like water sports. All in one day. In one day, I did all those things. Because at that time, I can say this, like a lot of us, I wanted pleasure. I wanted pleasure. And I would do whatever I could to get that pleasure. And then they got the Stoics, who are trying to reduce pain. So they do whatever it is so that they don't get inflicted or don't get diseased. Whatever, right? And we do it in many ways. And I'm not, I apologize if I offend you, which already means I'm going to offend you. You know, a lot of people say that, no offense. And of course, it's going to be offensive. Of course it is. Those crazy people who like eat really healthy stuff. And they talk about healthy stuff, like Auntie Susan, who's here somewhere, I saw her. That's right, this is where she is. All they talk about is healthy foods, healthy this. This is the new healthy thing. I'm like, what? And there's merit to it. I understand that, and my wife will pick it up, and she'll get our family to try to eat that stuff, like kale. We actually grow kale now. One of my kids actually likes it. I actually don't mind it if it's like kind of like really, really crispy. It's almost like a potato chip. So I'm not sure how much health is in there still. But anyways, some people get really excited about this health thing or reducing their pain. No offense, Auntie Susan. They don't want to have pain. And so they're fearful of doing things. I would see it as fearful of doing things that makes them uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. Do you know what? Being willing to do what God asks for is not always pleasurable. Being willing to do what God asks for is not always painless. Think of what Paul went through. Tortured, beaten, even dead for a little bit, or perceived to be dead. But he kept on going. A man with fear, with trembling, did not have persuasive words. But he kept doing it again and again. Is God calling you? Can you sense him asking you to join him on a journey? Where you're actually at right now, the place you're at right now. Doing what you're doing right now. Can you sense God? Whatever it might be. Even with the way you might feel. Troubled, unsatisfied, bored, restless. Would you be willing? Would you be willing? Because for the times that you have been willing, have you not, just like me, been absolutely amazed what God does? I am amazed at what God does with a willing person. Something way beyond that person individually. And I can say that myself for sure. Because he gets the glory, not me. It's not you. It's his glory. But we get a revel in it because he used us. And that journey is our life. And a willing life can shine for God. But we have to be willing first. And the last thing, will you trust in God? It sounds so simple, doesn't it? Will you trust in God? I love my kids. I love my kids. I have three. Evan is 10, Elijah is 8, and Luke is 3 now. And if you hear a lot of, well, that's not true. If you hear a lot of noise in boys, it's not just mine, because mine are loud, but there's a lot of other loud ones too. Right? But mine are pretty loud. Anyways, they're pretty crazy, like their mother. Not, of course not. They're like me. The thing that I love about kids, especially, is when they ask you to do something. So when they ask, you say, Daddy, he'll go whatever, here, catch me, and he'll leap, right? And I'm like, what? Where is it? I'm like, oh yeah, I gotcha. Just catch me. Very simple thing. He trusts his daddy to catch him. Do you know that? He trusts. It's amazing. And he gets bigger. Like, oh, yuck. Daddy, no. Wait a second. My back. How's my back doing? My back okay? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Oh, man, how much does he weigh now? Why, 60 pounds. Shoot, that's really heavy. Okay, but only once. Catch me. It's amazing that the trust they have. Children have this amazing trust. Even when you screw up, and I've never dropped my kid, just in case you're wondering. I have messed up in different ways, but I've always caught them. I've always caught them. Now, that's interesting, because my wife has always been afraid I'd drop him. Yeah. See, I used to pick up my son, Evan, when he was small. I used to throw him up like this. Ooh, every daddy does it, right? That's what I think that's a prerequisite for being daddy, throwing kids. Until he vomited on me. But you know what? I still did it after that. Even if he got sick, he still trusted daddy. And I just continued to love him. But kids don't stay kids forever. They grow up and they become like us. They become adults. And you know what? Us adults, and you guys are laughing, we have trust issues. We do, don't we? We have trust issues. Because so many things have gone wrong. So many things have gone wrong that we have to kind of figure out what happened. And we point out where the breaking point is, either ourselves or someone else. We either throw the blame out, hopefully nicely and gently, or we internalize it and scrutinize ourselves. And, go, and then we start saying, oh, I can't do that anymore. I can't do that anymore because of the failure. Oh, if I do that one, I'll look bad in front of my peers, my friends, my children. If I do that one, well, I might just screw up my life. If I do that one, my wife will, whatever, be very unhappy. Do you think God thinks the same way? Do you? I don't think he does at all. You see, the story I started off with, when I was on my knees, when I was wiping up vomit, I can still remember the smell. Clean, I'm going, this is the most ridiculous thing. Why am I here? Why am I here? Cleaning this up, bucket, get up, mop it, clean it up. God told me something. I need to work in you, Tombert. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. See, my biggest issue of being a Christian is my humility. And God needed to humble me. And he did a great job of that. At that point in time of being on my knees, cleaning up someone else's vomit, feeling shame, embarrassment, God was working in me. It's funny, that was a pretty good size store. During my breaks, I would read my Bible. It wasn't this one, though, but same size, though. I would open it up. Same color, actually. I would open it up, and I would read. And people would come by and say, what are you reading? I said, I'm just reading my Bible. Oh, what's it about? I'd tell them, blah, 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 blah. And it's amazing how often I was able to share. Sometimes in our, whatever, sitting area, sometimes it was while moving pallets. Sometimes it was while putting cans on a shelf. It was absolutely amazing what God was starting to do. I was willing to start talking and sharing my faith with others. Now, I can't say if anyone became a believer. I could honestly can't say that. Didn't formally lead anyone to Christ. But I know for a fact, there's one thing, is everyone in that place knew that I was a believer in Jesus Christ. Everyone did. And I prayed for people. I prayed with people. I had the most interesting fight slash, actually, I can't say it was a fight, heated conversation with an overtly homosexual guy. And he was mad at me because I'm a Christian. And I said, okay, so? He's like, well, don't you hate me? No. Am I supposed to? He changed. He saw a different light of Christianity because of some weird Chinese guy in a grocery store who was a little bit more willing to share. How about you? How about you? For where you're at, what you're doing right now, what you're doing right now, even with the feelings you have right now, would you be willing? Would you be willing to serve God? Maybe in one of those other ministries too, children's ministries, teens ministries, adult, alpha, would you be willing? Are you prepared? When was the last time you shared your testimony? When was the last time you just talked to your neighbor across the fence? My wife likes to talk across the fence now. Took a little while. We have these great neighbors. She likes to just chat and chat. And you know what? Sometimes issues come up and we can pray for them as well. Are you prepared to share your life story with them? Short versions, longer versions, sit-down versions? Who knows? Are you prepared? And lastly, are you willing to trust in God? See, what's interesting about Paul is he does his little thing, finishes talking to the council and everyone. Some people are like, we want to know more. Others are like, whatever. Pfft, sneer, get out of here, bye. Paul, he doesn't cry about it. At least we don't hear about it. Doesn't cry about it, doesn't whine. He's done. And he goes. Because it's up to God to do the work. It's his spirit that does the work, not his fine, eloquent words. Oh, wait a minute, he doesn't have fine, eloquent words. It's not those words. It's what the power of the spirit will do. That's the tough part, because if you're like me, if you do something, you expect results. If you don't get the results, they're like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that again. But you know what? Those results are not always based upon what we do. How about just leave it? Can you trust in God that he'll do something? I have found, as scary as it sounds, that when I trust in God and pray more in what I do, I find there's actually better results than when I'm working harder at it by asking God and what he will do. So how about, I don't know, how about trusting in God? See what he will do. Paul's journey, I'm amazed. But you know what? I think your journey could be even more amazing. But it's up to you. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for what you have given us in your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for guiding someone like Paul through such a crazy journey. Thank you for blessing us, watching over us, having a relationship with us. But if I could just ask for one thing, Lord God, could you help us take a courage, a step of faith towards you, to be willing where we are right now, so that, Lord God, that we could experience your great love and just be blessed and bless those around us as well. We praise you and thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we all said, amen.